I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to the program, The Muslim Lady. This is your host, Zainab, and I have with me, Siddiqa. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
A very warm welcome, Siddiqa.
Thank you very much.
Dear listeners, Siddiqa is a student of jurisprudence in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom, and she's also a researcher. She researches a lot on the issues related to women. All right, Siddiqa, in our previous session, we have been talking about OCD in general, and then you differentiated that with doubts, and you came up with some examples which had light on the topic, giving religious examples, like you said, anti-religious thoughts coming into the mind. It's okay. It's not a sin. One should not feel regretful, but at the same time, one needs to go and seek help. And you also talked about some of the methods to overcome this disorder. Now, there are also seen some eating disorders. Can we also call that or get it into the category of OCD?
Some in the medical field put eating disorders as part of OCD. And again, eating disorders are seen as a result of extreme pressures or extreme trauma that people go through. And eating disorders are largely seen in women. Now, there could be many reasons for it, and mainly it could be that women tend to cope in different ways than men. So some women might cope with their daily pressures or whatever trauma they've been through by eating. Bulimia is a form of eating disorder, right? So basically a person would first try to restrict the food,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they would start eating and then trying to throw it out. And this can have eating disorders, even though externally it just seems a person is controlling the eating. There are a lot of mental issues that a person goes through when they're going through these eating disorders. And this eating disorders in women can have different categories. Some would refrain from eating only a specific type of food. Like, for example, they would refuse to eat only dairy products.
Okay.
Right? Not because they see anything wrong with it or because they're vegans or any of that sort. It's just that it is a form of a coping mechanism that they've entailed, that they've stuck to now.
Okay.
Now, given that dairy products and these products do give them vital vitamins, or if they end up eating these, then they would try and throw it out, which then again comes through not only externally harming the body, but then mentally harming themselves as well, because they see themselves as having done something wrong by eating, for example, milk or drinking milk.
Okay.
So again, because it is so common in women, eating disorders are common in women. Now, why are eating disorders common in women is another issue.
So you are trying to say, even if you're not allergic to some food, you're just trying to avoid it?
As a coping mechanism.
Okay.
As a coping mechanism over here. Not because of any specific reason. Yes. It's just to cope with the trauma.
And you see that a lot in women.
Eating disorders generally come about in women a lot more than they do in men. Why women would choose food to cope? It could be because of their self-image, self-esteem, how they view themselves. You know, unfortunately in the world today, we have a lot of issues such as fat shaming. So if a woman is just a tiny size bigger, she is shamed in the size of her body. And then, especially when it comes to teenage girls, when they're going through schools and they go through peer pressure and societal pressures, their self-esteem is reduced just on the basis of how they look. And this could lead to trauma because they are bullied. And that one form of coping with that bullying goes to eating disorders. And these disorders then extend into their adult life, and it affects how they view their relationship, because they're constantly trying to make themselves feel better through food, and that's not the way to make a person feel better.
All right, just in order to have a better body image, you try to avoid a lot of foods.
Not only to have a better body image, it could be a cause of why women are so susceptible to eating disorders.
Okay.
It's not only to look better, it could be a cause of why women start to portray OCD in eating. Just because probably they're bullied, or because today we have such very absurd expectations of how a woman should look.
Look like, exactly. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady and I'm with Sadiqa. We're talking on different forms of OCD and right now we're focusing on what kind of OCDs women go through.
Yeah. In the previous episodes, we discussed intrusive thoughts. Then we discussed eating disorders. Now, another one that is more common and is women are affected, men are affected by it. It is the compulsion to constantly renew the wudu, for example, within Islamic world, or constantly pray. They'll start the prayer and then they'll think that they've made a mistake. This is, I'm giving Islamic examples.
Okay.
But it comes in the OCD where the need to repeat an action several times. Now, I've seen this in women, right? So I was in the masjid once and there was a woman standing next to me. It was congregation prayers. And one phrase, she repeated it 3-4 times. And I started getting frustrated because I was like, calm down. And that made me realize she's going through a much more worse state in her
situation,
life. Because now she's having to compulsively repeat that phrase so much that she cannot go into her next action in her prayer. Because there's a thought in her head that's telling her, if you do not do it correctly, then this will happen. It's very compulsive and women go through this quite a bit. So again, when it comes to Islamic ruling on this, Islam gives a general directive to this.
So we have a ruling over this.
We already have a ruling. Ignore it. The best way to ignore these, to handle these issues is to ignore it. There's this obsessive thought in my head. You need to redo your wudu, right? Ablution. Ignore it. Islam says ignore it to the extent that the jurists have said, I am giving you an order that you do not need to repeat it. And if you do repeat it, who are you repeating it for? You're repeating for yourself. You're not repeating it for Allah. Right? So if you constantly tell yourself, look, Allah has given me a directive, only one wudu for namaz and that's it. No 2, 3, 4, 5. I know of people who have said they have repeated their prayer 7 times.
Because it does not sound very attractive to them.
Yes, one of that, but they feel that they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
Right?
It does not sound very perfect, very attractive. They feel like they have done mistakes.
It's just a thought that comes in their head which tells them you've done wrong, even though they've not done wrong. And Islam completely comes, and over here Islam gives a blanket ruling. In other cases, Islam doesn't give a blanket ruling. But over here, because of the severity of the effect on a person's life, Islam gives a blanket ruling and says, ignore it. I'd gone once to my teacher about this issue, and it was in relation to a woman who I know, and she was going through this very difficult stage where it would take her 1 hour to pray one namaz. So I'd gone to my teacher, who's again teaching jurisprudence, and I told her that, look, this woman is going through a very difficult stage, and she's taking 1 hour to pray one namaz. And she told me, look, in this case, she should pray in whatever way she can. Like, even if she's not reciting anything, it doesn't matter. Just pray in whatever way you can. And Islam comes about and says, if you can, in these issues, if you cannot pray individually at home, then go for congregational prayers.
Well, we have very kind nature of Islam over here to just help us come over the mental state we're going through.
Yeah.
We'll discuss more on that after a short break, dear listeners.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Muslim Lady. I'm with Sadiqa and we're discussing OCD And now we're focusing on the examples related to women, the conditions of OCD that women go through. Yes, Sadika.
Another OCD that women generally see, which is very common about women, is excessive cleaning and hand washing. This might seem as not very harmful, but I again have seen people who've developed extreme forms of eczema because of the amount of liquids and detergents they've used to clean the hands. So again, externally, we might not think it's harmful for them, but because of the mental health and then the later consequences of constant hand washing that they bring about, this is where the harm comes.
Okay.
Right? And the different ways of dealing with these forms of OCD. Now, I'm going to give just a few methods of dealing with it. One is meeting a psychologist or a counselor, and I recommend an Islamic counselor, especially if those OCD is religious-based or if you're having obsessive religious thoughts. You use the word Allah, because the word Allah itself is Isma Azam. It's one of the best names of Allah, and it brings intense peace to a person's heart.
It does.
The other forms are reciting salawat constantly through the day. So I know of scholars...
And we also have this verse from Surah Ra'ad, which says that it's the zikrullah. It's a,
yes. Allah bi zikrullah tatma'innul qulub.
That provides peace to the heart.
Yeah. So some scholars have said reciting salawat, for example, 1,001 times a day. And because salawat is one of the adhkar, one of the dhikrs, one of those things that they have positive consequences.
Yeah.
So they've said about reciting about 1,000 times a day, 1,001 times. Now, obviously, not everyone can do 1,000 times, but dividing it over the day, like, for example, 100 times after every salah or 200 times after every salah. Others have said reciting astaghfar, because astaghfar removes bala from a person's life. It removes tribulations from a person's life.
It's a kind of shower to your soul.
Exactly. So now, this reciting astaghfar does not mean OCD is a sin. It's just that astaghfar, astaghfirullah rabbi wa atubu ilay, and some have said, again, reciting it 1,000 times a day.
All right.
And they say it because astaghfar generally removes all sorts of tribulations from a person's life, and OCD is a form of tribulation, right?
It is.
Yes. So some scholars have said reciting that. And then just generally getting into, if it's religious-based thoughts, then allowing yourself to read books and help yourself acquaint better with religion. So turning a negative into a positive. So if you're having negative religious thoughts, now turning into a positive and reading about it to, you know, increase. Education is a source of pleasure for the soul. So again, turning a negative into a positive. And one scholar interestingly said to have a bath with cedar water.
All right.
There's a specific leaf called cedar.
Yeah.
I don't have the English equivalent, but it's easily...
is also used for the
shrouding of the body. When they do ghusl of the body, they use this specific leaf that they put it in water. And they say because it calms the head down, they say just putting some cedar water on the head to calm that person down. So there are different injunctions, but obviously... getting the correct help from a psychologist should be taken into account, because they have very good methods. And the last and the final method is when a person is going through these doubts, and Islam talks about this as well, ignore it, even if it's thoughts. Generally, slowly and gradually, just get it out of your head. Do not think about it. And if there are any doubts with your hand washing, wudu, namaz, ignore it and get on with life. It becomes easier.
It becomes easier. Thank you so much for coming up with all those solutions. You reminded me of when I was doing contemplation of Surah Nas in my class, and our teacher would tell us that recite Surah Nas every 20 minutes, because you are constantly seeking refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all the evils of mankind, from all the evils, from jinn, from every creation. You are actually seeking refuge to Allah. So once you are seeking refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no danger that's going to harm you, be that your mental health, be that your physical health. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges.